Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports World Report. As usual, I'm your host, Denton Ramsey. This is episode 16 of the show, and today is Wednesday, March 28, 2012. Thank you very much for joining us. You can follow along with show notes and more on the official blog site at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com. And feel free to email in any questions, comments, or story ideas to sportsworldreport@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 254-307-SWRE. Again, that's 254-307-7973. Also, please subscribe on iTunes, tell your friends about the show, and take a brief moment to write a review on the Sports World Report iTunes page. In addition, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at SP World Report, and you can also follow my personal Twitter account at Denton Ramsey. Jumping right in, we have a whole lot to discuss when it comes to Baylor and Houston sports. Starting things off, let's talk about the Baylor men's basketball team falling in the Elite Eight to Kentucky. It was a tough loss. Baylor looked good early on when they had that 10-5 lead. I was really excited. I was thinking Baylor had a really good chance of hanging with Kentucky, but they pretty much fell apart after that. They had that spark towards the end, but it was a little bit too little, too late. Again, though, congratulations to Scott Drew and the Baylor Bears. They had a 30-win season this year, and they have nothing to complain about or to be upset about. They really had a fantastic and phenomenal season. Going to read the first few paragraphs from this story from BaylorBears.com. Again, any of these stories we do discuss can be accessed in the show notes at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com. Kentucky is taking its highlight show back to the Big Easy. With an NBA-like display from a young team filled with future pros, top-seeded Wildcats advanced to the Final Four for the second year in a row with an 82-70 win over Baylor in the South Regional Final on Sunday. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist scored 19 points, Anthony Davis added 18 points and 11 rebounds, and Terrence Jones dazzled in all the overlooked areas, leading the Wildcats 36-2 to a bluegrass showdown with rival Louisville in the national semifinals on Saturday at New Orleans. Moving on to the Baylor women's basketball team. Actually, before we do that, let's give another update on the men's basketball team. Both Pierre Jackson and Perry Jones III were named Honorable Mention AP All-Americans, and Baylor has multiple AP All-Americans for the first time since 1988. Baylor men's basketball junior Pierre Jackson and sophomore Perry Jones III were named Honorable Mention All-Americans by the Associated Press, the news organization announced Monday. Jackson and PJ III are the 5th and 6th AP All-Americans, respectively, in Baylor history, joining Terry Teagle, 1982, Michael Williams, 1988, Daryl Middleton, 1988, and Epe Udo in 2010. Baylor has multiple AP All-Americans for the first time since 1988. Baylor, 30-8, concluded its 2011-12 season with a school record 30 wins and its second Elite Eight appearance in the last three seasons. Moving on now to Baylor women's basketball. The Lady Bears are Final Four bound and are heading to Denver. Brittany Griner had 23 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 blocks to lead Baylor over Tennessee. They won 77-58. Baylor has just two wins to go for 40-0. Tennessee's future is far less certain. Brittany Griner had 23 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 blocks before being ejected with less than a minute left, and top-seeded Baylor rolled over Tennessee 77-58 Monday night to advance to the Final Four. Quote, "We're so happy, but you can't relax," Baylor's Destiny Williams said. "We have two more games left." So again, guys, check this out and keep up with the Lady Bears. I'll keep you guys informed as they progress, hopefully to a national title game and hopefully a national championship. Also, in regards to Baylor Lady Bears, Brittany Griner is a unanimous AP All-American selection. Odyssey Sims was named to the second team. Baylor's Brittany Griner is a unanimous selection to the Associated Press All-American team, the organization announced Tuesday. Teammate Odyssey Sims was chosen to the second team. With the selection, Griner becomes Baylor's first three-time AP All-American. She was a second-team pick as a freshman in 2010 and was a first-team honoree in 2011. Moving on, this story comes out of CBSSports.com. It's an update on Robert Griffin III and how he shined once again at Baylor's Pro Day. This is out of Waco. Robert Griffin III scripted nearly every throw he made at Baylor's Pro Day Wednesday afternoon, but he could not have counted on Washington's Dan Snyder and Mike Shanahan watching the throwing session on the sidelines around the 20-yard line. When the quarterback dropped in a perfectly thrown deep route to his right that was caught just feet from what most assume are his future owner and head coach, Griffin couldn't help but let out a fist pump and give it a few high fives to go with a big smile on his face. Even when he's not trying to create a special moment, it seems like RG3 simply can't help it. Quote, I thought it went great. I had a few misses, but other than that, the stat, I think, was 78 out of 84. That's pretty good, Griffin said. I always said that I didn't have anything to prove at Pro Day, and that's why it was so easy. It's not stressful because you don't have to prove anything. The game tape speaks for itself, and it does for a lot of players. Again, if you guys want to read more on this story, check this out. We've got to move on. We've got a few RG3 updates. This next one comes out of the Indy Star on IndyStar.com. It's entitled NFL Notebook. Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay says top pick, quote, up in the air. Colts have talked with agents of Luck, Griffin, but not started contract talks. Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay said it's not a foregone conclusion that Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck will be the franchise's first overall pick in next month's draft over Baylor's Robert Griffin III. Quote, it's up in the air, Irsay told USA Today. We have to look at this thing completely open-minded. You have two outstanding athletes, two great pure passers, two guys from families that are incredible. Irsay said he, general manager Ryan Grigson, and coach Chuck Pagano have yet to make a decision, but negotiations could be a factor. Quote, if we get to the point where we're going to negotiate early, get something done before the draft, you never rule that out, Irsay said. We've talked to both agents. We haven't negotiated yet. This next story comes out of WashingtonPost.com. It's entitled Robert Griffin III Says It Would Be a Dream to Play for Mike Shanahan. If you wanted another entry to add to the budding love story involving Mike Shanahan and Robert Griffin III, try this response on Tuesday when RG3 was asked about his conversations with the Redskins brass. Quote, I mean, you have to give respect where respect is due, he told the SiriusXM Blitz. So before I even talk about football with them, I just try to express to them that I was a Broncos fan growing up, so Coach Shanahan coached those teams that I watched, and that influenced me to play football. Would it be a dream come true to play for him? Yes, it would. But when it comes to just straight football talk, of course we can't talk about the offense and things like that, but they try to make a point to tell me the kind of things they're going to try to do with me. You know, they didn't trade up to the second pick for no reason. So again, guys, if you want to read any more of these stories on updates on RG3, definitely click on the show notes, and you can find those at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com. This last update on RG3 is out of ESPN.com. It's entitled Redskins, quote, feel great about Luck and Griffin. As you may have heard, Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay has been wandering around the NFL owners meeting saying his team is undecided on whether it will take Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III with the number one pick in the draft. Irsay could be telling the truth, or he could be putting up a smokescreen, as everyone does about the draft this time of year. One thing is certain, though. The Washington Redskins, who traded three first-round picks and a second-round pick to the Rams early this month to move up to the number two pick, don't care. They know they're getting one of the premium quarterbacks, and that's all that matters. Quote, that's a decision when you get to the second pick. You've got to feel great about both guys, Redskins coach Mike Shanahan said Wednesday morning. There can't be any, oh, I hope I get this guy, I hope I get that guy, because you don't know what's going to happen. You know what's reported, but you just don't know, especially with this process. But when we did move up to this position, we had to feel great about both of them before we gave up what we gave up. Next story, we're going to switch back to Baylor sports, Baylor baseball. The baseball team has now run their streak to 8 with a 14-5 win at Houston. Bears have first regular season 8-game winning streak since 2003. Josh Lutie had four hits and four RBI to lead 8 Baylor starters who each had at least one hit, one run, and one RBI in a 14-5 win over Houston at Cougar Field on Tuesday night. The win gave Baylor its first regular season 8-game winning streak since 2003. Baylor, 19-7, has scored at least 8 runs in 6 consecutive games, which marks the first time the Bears have done so since an 8-game streak of 8-plus runs scored in 1998. Joey Hainsfurther and Tyler Bremer combined to hold Houston 10-13 without an earned run over 7 innings. Bremer, 2-0, earned the win with 3 shutout innings of relief and his first outing since an injury on February 22nd. Quote, "When you have two seniors in Joey and Bremer who are able to throw 7 innings for you on a Tuesday on the road, that's significant," head coach Steve Smith said. "It was just a gritty effort by Joey. It wasn't as crisp and easy for him as it was last week, but he still got through it, and he competed really well and made a lot of big pitches." Baylor hadn't trailed in its last 5 games, but the Bears fell behind 2-0 after Houston took advantage of an error to score a pair of unearned runs in the second. Again, if you guys want to continue reading more about that Bears 14-5 win over Houston, click the story in the show notes. Moving on to Baylor softball. The trip to College Station will be 1 of 2 for Baylor this year as number 17 softball travels to number 15 Texas A&M. Just to let you guys know, it will be on the radio here on 1660 ESPN in Central Texas. Live audio is also available at BaylorBears.com, and live video is available at www.aggieathletics.com. Baylor's 22-8 overall, 1-2 in the conference. Texas A&M is 22-9 overall and 2-1 in the conference. So again, I'll give you guys a schedule for all the Baylor and Houston sports teams at the end of the show. Normally, I would read that off to you guys, but from now on, if you guys want to access that, you'll just have to click that link in the show notes where you'll be able to get Baylor and Houston sports schedule for every week. Moving on now to the Houston Astros. This comes to us from Astros.com. It's entitled "Release of Duke Cust, Give Roster Some Clarity." It's by Brian McTaggart. The decision to release left-hander Zach Duke and outfielder Jack Cust, which certainly came as no surprise considering how much the pair struggled this spring, has brought a tad more clarity to the roster composition. General Manager Jeff Lundhouse said the Tuesday's decisions to cut ties with the veterans had more to do with the emergence of some younger players who are battling for the same spots on the roster that Duke and Cust were trying to win. Quote, "What we're talking about here is that the young players have stepped up and demonstrated they're ready to be on this ball club," Lundhouse said. "We had to have a contingency plan, which is to have some veterans around in case the young players showed they weren't ready. It didn't happen." Next story is also from Astros.com. It's entitled "Astros Put Up 13 Hits, 14 Runs, and Win Over Tigers." Rodriguez settles down, throws spring-high 6 innings. This is also by Brian McTaggart. A 2-run single by shortstop Jed Lowry and a 2-run homer by right fielder Brian Busevic pushed across 4 runs in the 4th inning and enabled the Astros to complete a comeback from 5 runs down to beat the Tigers 14-7 on Tuesday afternoon at Osceola County Stadium. The Tigers had jumped on Astros starter Wandy Rodriguez with a run in the 1st inning on a Brennan Bosch homer, and they scored 4 times in the 2nd, including an inside-the-park home run by leadoff hitter Austin Jackson to take a 5-run lead. While Rodriguez got his act together, the Astros roared back against Detroit left-hander Andy Oliver. Jason Castro ripped a 2-run double to right in the 2nd, and J.B. Shuck added an RBI to get the Astros within 1 run after 2 innings. Also from Astros.com, the story is entitled "Astros Make Moves to Cut Roster by 5, Bixler Sent to Minors as Club Narrows Down to 34 Players," also by Brian McTaggart. The Astros trimmed their Major League roster by 5 more players Wednesday morning, reassigning infielders Angel Sanchez, Scott Moore, and Brian Bixler to minor league camp, optioning right-hander Inerio Del Rosario to the minor leagues, and releasing infielder Joe Thurston. They're down to 34 players in camp. Bixler was the biggest surprise, considering he's had a good camp at the plate, and he has shown his versatility by playing in the outfield. He slugged his 3rd homer of the spring on Tuesday. Bixler will see time at shortstop and center field at AAA Oklahoma City. Quote, "It's tough to talk to a guy about that, but he knows the situation we're in," General Manager Jeff Lundhouse said. "He's going to go to AAA, and he's going to get ready. He's the type of guy who can play a lot of position, has tools, and is well-liked with other big league staff. I have a feeling if an opportunity arises, he'll be back." This last story that we're going to address before we go over the latest NBA standings comes from NBA.com. It's entitled "Running on Empty, Rockets Falter in Second Half, Fall 90-81 to Mavericks." This is by Jason Friedman for Rockets.com. The Rockets came into Tuesday's game against the Dallas Mavericks with a point to prove and revenge on their mind. To a man, everyone in the Houston locker room desired payback for the heartbreaking overtime loss they suffered at the hands of the Mavericks Saturday night. What they possessed in motivation, however, they seemed to severely lack in stamina. And after a brilliant first quarter that saw the Rockets race out to a 16-point lead, Houston faded badly the rest of the way, succumbing to Dallas by a final score of 90-81. Quote, "I think we got a little bit tired," admitted Houston head coach Kevin McHale after the game. "We played last night and had an overtime game, and we just didn't have the zip that we needed." Indeed, the Rockets simply cannot find a way to sustain the success they enjoyed early on in Tuesday night's game. Houston scorched the Nets with its shooting in the opening stanza, draining its first three three-point attempts during a 26-8 run that provided the Rockets with their largest margin of the night. That zip McHale referred to was evident in the way the ball was being whipped around offensively as Houston carved up Dallas's typically stingy defense with ease. Luis Scola was an unstoppable force, scoring 10 early points, while Goran Dragic scored no ill effect from a sprained right ankle, racking up 7 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, and a pair of steals. Again, if you guys want to read more, check this out. There's also a video here if y'all want to check that out as well. But unfortunately, the Rockets did fall at Dallas last night. Latest NBA standings as usual. Top 3 teams in each division for each conference. Starting in the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic, we've got Philadelphia at 28-22. Boston at 27-22, New York at 25-25. In the Central, we've got Chicago at 40-11, Indiana at 29-19, Milwaukee at 23-27. In the Southeast, we've got Miami at 35-13, Orlando at 32-18, and Atlanta at 30-21. In the Western Conference, in the Northwest, we've got Oklahoma City at 38-12, Utah at 27-23, Denver at 27-23. In the Pacific, we've got the LA Lakers at 31-19, the LA Clippers at 28-21, and Phoenix at 25-25. In the Southwest, we've got San Antonio at 34-14, Dallas at 29-22, Memphis at 27-21, and the Houston Rockets barely hanging in there. They're 1.5 out right now behind Memphis at 27-24. Okay, guys, that will wrap up episode 16 of Sports World Report. Again, if you want a list of this week's sports schedule for Baylor and Houston teams, just check the website at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com. As far as tonight's events, the only thing going on is Baylor softball at Texas A&M tonight at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Okay, guys, I look forward to talking to you guys again next week.